It's great to see you all. It's great to see us all here, and I hope that you've all had a wonderful week. What we're doing with this Connect series is we are attempting to engage with these foundational issues that we all wrestle with, and these issues in the secular culture, and seeing how the Christian faith engages with this issue. Tonight we'll be looking at the subject of hope, and I'd just like to say at the onset how weighty this issue is. By no means would we be able to, you know, get it all sorted this evening, so to speak. This is to help us to furthermore engage with it even after today and think even more about these issues and engage with them the more. And we'll have some time in your tables with the sheets that you have in your tables to discuss the questions there and engage with them later on as well. So it is a weighty issue. It's a big issue. It's a massive issue and one that we all wrestle with in one way or the other. So we're looking at what is hope? Where do we find hope? And does the Christian worldview provide for us any basis or reason to have lasting hope? Or can someone who thinks outside the Christian worldview, could it be enjoyed by someone who thinks outside the Christian worldview? These are fundamental, foundational issues that we'll think through tonight. So first, let's define our terms. What do we mean by hope? And how is it commonly used in our culture, around us? How is the word hope usually, how is it commonly used? Well, it's used to express a form of uncertainty, a form of wishful thinking. In other words, you know, for instance, I hope I get a raise. I might not. I hope so. Or is such and such true? It might be. It might not be. I don't know, but I hope. In other words, I hope this desire is fulfilled, but it might not be. It could, but it might not be. And that is how it's used in our culture, a form of uncertainty or a form of wishful thinking. Also, it's used to express the anticipation of a better future, that one day my future would be better than it is right now, better than it is today, brighter than it is today, whatever a better future is to that particular individual, an anticipation of some form of better future. So a deep desire for a future that is brighter, less bleak than what is currently experienced. So, but there's a problem with this use of the term. It's problematic. I think we all recognize, firstly, that, you know, if we use this definition, we all recognize that everyone has, you know, everyone needs hope. Everyone longs for hope. It's a universal pursuit in that sense. Everyone, there's no individual inside, within or outside these walls that could say, well, I have no interest in hope. I have no interest in hope. I don't long for it. I have no interest in it. I don't want it. None of us say that because everyone, Christian or non-Christian, everyone longs for hope. We cannot afford to live without it. Everyone longs for hope. Everyone needs it. And that's something I want to set at the onset, that it is not something that we say, well, it doesn't matter if I have it or not, because everyone longs for it. It's something we all have in common. It's something we cannot live without. So we have a massive problem if we are hoping for that which is not certain or that which will not ultimately be fulfilled because everyone longs for it. So it's a longing we all have. This longing for a life that is meaningful, a purposeful life, a satisfied life. And again, I'm not saying we Christians necessarily. I'm saying everyone does. Everyone wants to live a happy, fulfilled life, filled with joy and contentment. Something we all have in common. And what we all do is we search for what satisfies those deeper desires, what fulfills them. What fulfills them not only temporarily, but what fulfills them permanently. We search for something that gives us this satisfaction and something that fulfills those desires and doesn't go away, that it is not fulfilled temporarily and snatched away from us. We search for it, and that thing that fulfills those desires and fulfills them permanently, something that gets us there and keeps us there. It's what we all search for. So it is not enough if it's uncertain. We want to know that we'll have hope. Our culture especially is driven by these longings. Not to ruin it for you, but think of a film like La La Land. You know, I'm sure some of us have seen La La Land, where the pursuit of dream becomes more important than love. It's very interesting. The dream is the hope that fulfills the desire for happiness and gives meaning to life. Another example, which I'm sure we've all seen at one point or the other, is The X Factor. It's a British music, yes, we've all seen it, a British music talent show. And I don't watch the show now, I don't have time for it, but I used to watch it, and I used to follow the series. And I remember once watching an episode where the contestant, the competitors were at their earliest stage, and it's at this point where they, you know, they meet the judges, and they sit on their chairs, and they ask, you know, why did you come here? What made you want to audition for the show? I remember sitting there and something struck me. And all their responses were identical. One by one by one. And almost all of them made particular reference to the dream. This hope. This to them would bring the achievement of the fulfillment of hope. This thing out there that fulfills their desire for happiness. Becoming this famous, idolized person brings for them the escape of a life without meaning. And so they said, if my hopes aren't ultimately fulfilled by achieving this picture that I've designed for myself, I will never be happy. This is the picture I want. This is why I'm here. If I don't get it, I'll never be happy. I will lead a dull, a boring, a meaningless existence unless I get this thing. And it's interesting how it strikes them when they don't get it. So in one way or another, everyone is seeking some means through which their greatest longings, our deepest desires, will be fulfilled, will be satisfied. But there is a problem, and the problem is that hope seems at times painfully elusive. We can't quite get it. Can we have hope? Can these deepest longings be satisfied? I recently came across a website called Living Without Religion, which is basically a celebration of secularism. Some secularists come together and they, you know, this is why I'm a secularist, this is why I don't want religion, such and such. And some comments were made on that website that really struck me as interesting. I thought it worth noting here. Two atheist women were interviewed on what brings them happiness. Where do they find hope? One of them claims, what makes me happy? In other words, where I find my hope, what gets me there? What makes me happy is the ability, freedom, and courage to follow my dream, the dream. An older woman said, I find happiness in watching my children and grandchildren grow and mature. This is what they believe fulfills their hope. This is the object of their hope. Happiness for them is their hopes fulfilled. Happiness is the accomplishment of hope. In other words, if these hopes are not fulfilled, they will not live a happy life. Their deepest longing is satisfied by the achievement of the dream. That is the means through which they will achieve the greatest, the deepest heart longings for happiness, for peace, for satisfaction, achieving the dream. The problem is, though, over the years, our deepest hopes are often never satisfied by the things that we turn to as the objects of our hope. They so often let us down, don't they? I mean, we think, the ideal partner, the dream job, the ideal school, the best grades, the happiest children, being famous. We think once we finally have these things, then we'll be satisfied. We can breathe out and there's permanent satisfaction right there. And then we'll be content. It would be enough. But what we find often is that they still don't satisfy. They don't satisfy. These things that we so often place our hope in as that which would finally get us there doesn't. There's still a gaping hole, a desperation for hope. John Rockefeller, the famous successful industrialist, once at the peak of his career with all the wealth and all the fame, the power that he could have, he was asked the question, how much money is enough money? Do you know what his response was? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Why? Because it's elusive. It doesn't satisfy. Think of the fickleness of the pursuits of the average young, and I'm making a broad sweep here, the average young Western 21st century individual. What do they have? What do they believe often will fulfill their hopes? You know, better friends, best Facebook profile, famous on social media, the best house, the ideal job. We tie our identity to those hopes and believe we'll feel contented by them. But they still don't deliver. They still don't deliver. Norwegian poet Henrik Ibsen said that when you take the life lie from an average person, he says you take away their happiness as well. What is the life lie? It is that thing out there that will bring you a contented life, that brings meaning. But what we eventually come to realize is that it still doesn't deliver. What we often find is that great thing, that goal that is supposed to bring happiness, when people actually do obtain it, which is quite rare, but when they do obtain it, think X Factor, that they are still left unhappy, still searching for hope. So often when we get the thing that we think will finally do it, we're still left unfulfilled. Everyone seems to be chasing after temporary quick fixes that simply don't satisfy, that always lets us down. So fulfillment of the hope for complete satisfaction in material things is elusive because we will never be contented by them. The pursuit to satisfy our longings in material things is in itself hopeless. This pursuit in itself is hopeless. Because in doing so, we're looking in the wrong place for fulfillment and satisfaction, and it won't work. But there is the answer, the uniqueness of the Christian hope. Well, on what basis does the Christian worldview claim to provide this hope? Does it or could it provide lasting hope that satisfies? A hope that doesn't shift, that doesn't fail when tested, that isn't taken away from you, that is permanent, that is not uncertain. A hope that fulfills mankind's deepest longings. First, hope in the Christian mind differs from the common usage that I mentioned earlier. We're adopting a classical biblical usage of the term. When the Bible uses the word hope, it's the the ultimate certain satisfaction of all that we as human beings long for. Think of justice, peace, the end of pain, the end of suffering, the end of fear. These are desires and longings that we all have. And in other words, a firm assurance that all our deepest heart longings will ultimately be satisfied. So where we find hope, what we place our hope in is what fulfills these desires. The object of our hope is that which fulfills our greatest desires. That big thing that satisfies our deepest longings, no matter our worldview or background. This is what we mean by hope. These greatest and deepest longings we all have will certainly ultimately be satisfied and met. So you see, there's a reason why we're discontent. There's a reason why hope seems elusive, why we're dissatisfied. And Christianity makes the claim that this world will not satisfy you. It won't bring you the hope that you need, ultimately. The perfect spouse, the dream job, the great house, it won't satisfy you because as human beings, you have within you longings for things that cannot be satisfied ultimately by anything in this world. What makes us dissatisfied as human beings is because what ultimately meets those needs, is not in this world. C.S. Lewis, which I'm sure most of us know, famously said, "If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world." Think about that. And if this is true, there are serious consequences, serious implications. So what makes the Christian hope, the Christian claim to hope, so unique? But two things. I'll run through them quickly. Two primary things. And we can explore these later on in our discussions as well and push this further. Two things. Number one, it's found in an unchangeable person. Christian hope is found in an unchangeable person. I'm sure everyone here at some point or the other have placed a lot of trust in a loved one only to find yourself disappointed. Why? Because as human beings, we change. And that's okay. Pick your favorite person. You know, your best friend at school, your wife, your husband, your mother, your son. We're fickle. Sometimes we make promises that we can't fulfill. We're fickle. But in Christ, we find someone whose character never changes. Someone who is never fickle. Someone who is always the same. Tim Keller said that only love for the unchangeable can bring tranquility. Because of Christ's unchangeable nature, we can trust that our hope in Jesus can never fall through, can never ever fail. Because he's always, always good, always, always kind, always, always sovereign, always just, always good. We know that we're given stability to hope. It can't be snatched away from us like the fickleness of this world. In him, we have stable hope, which is so foundational. A hope that never falls through. A hope that transcends the fickleness of this world. His character is trustworthy because he never changes. So we can trust him to fulfill our deepest longings. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when our hope is placed in him, we have a stable foundation. When it is placed on the things or the people of this world, inevitably, we will be disappointed. Secondly, it's sealed by a historic event. What makes Christian hope so distinctive, so unique, even tangible, is the attested historical event of Christ's bodily resurrection. It's so unique. Because Christ rose from the dead, we have lasting hope. And one of the things that the resurrection does is it acts as a tangible evidence for me today, that these deeper longings that I have will ultimately be fulfilled in Christ, in the person of Christ, because of his resurrection. I know that. And I can look back and point to that historical event and know with certainty that my hope cannot be taken away, will not be taken away. Paul, one of Christ's apostles, was writing in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection, and he felt the need to point to this historical event as the reason for hope. He said, you know, listen, Christ rose from the dead and appeared to up to 500 people. And if you don't believe me, they're still alive. You could ask them. And sometimes it captivates me just to think about that. And then Paul said, if Christ did not rise, there's no hope for anyone, especially Christians. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 to 20, Paul said, If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul says Jesus rose from the dead. It points to the fact, because he rose from the dead, it points to the fact that those who trust in him have hope in this, not in this life only, but also beyond this life. In other words, because Jesus is alive today, that means our deepest heart longings for peace, for justice, for happiness, the end of death, the end of fear, the end of pain, the end of suffering are ultimately satisfied in the person of Jesus, in his resurrection, in his resurrected body. This is the evidence for that promise, a real historical receipt, so to speak, that proves that our hopes will ultimately be fulfilled. We can point back to a tangible, real moment. Look back to a real historical moment 2,000 years ago, that when Jesus rose from the dead, acts as an evidence of the fulfillment of our hope. Our hopes for a personal, real relationship with God. Our hope for the fulfillment of justice and fairness. We all cry for fairness. Children cry for fairness. You know, it's not fair. A claim that we all hear so many times. We all cry for fairness and justice. Our hopes for a love that cannot be taken away from us. That can never be snatched away from us. All of this is fulfilled in Christ, who is risen and alive today, as we speak. Therefore, these deepest hopes will be fulfilled for certainty. This eternal lasting hope is only found in him, and because he rose from the dead, this hope is guaranteed for those who place their trust in him. And outside of faith in Christ, there's only, as we've seen in this world, an unending cycle of chasing after that which does not satisfy, with these deeper human longings unmet. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to, in our groups, in our table, push on these issues all the more, and look at the sheets that you have there, and look at the questions, and discuss them in your groups. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your grace gathering us here together to think about these issues. And we ask that you would give us all strength, wisdom, to think with clarity, and help us to realize that hope, true hope, lasting hope, is ultimately and only found in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.